The High Court has been listening to legal submissions from various parties on whether it should authorise the switching off of the life support system of a pregnant woman. The woman was sadly declared brain dead just over 3 weeks ago, but has been kept alive against her family's wishes while the legal position around the fetus she is carrying was resolved. The court has already heard the unborn baby's chances of survival if life support is continued or extremely slim. Our legal affairs editor, Orla O'Donnell, has been listening to this morning's proceedings and joins us on the line. Good afternoon, Orla. The High Court today said it doesn't appear that the case of the woman who is 18 weeks pregnant, who has been declared brain dead, is in fact about abortion at all.
Yes, this was during the course of submissions firstly made by lawyers for the woman's family, the people who are taking this action, who want the life support machine turned off. And senior counsel Mary O'Toole told the court that the prospects of this unborn child surviving to be viable were small to almost negligible. She said the case was not about abortion. At this stage, Mr Justice Nicholas Kearns, the president of the High Court, said that it didn't appear to the court either that the case was about abortion at all. But he said that Article 43 of the Constitution, which vows to defend and vindicate the right to life of the unborn, could nevertheless be engaged in this case. Ms O'Toole said that if the court took the view that the unborn's right to life was engaged, then the issue was what was practicable in the circumstances of this case. And she said it wasn't just a question of the unborn surviving, but how the fetus would be affected by the drugs and chemicals which are being pumped into its mother's body to maintain her on life support treatment. She asked if it was in the best interests of the unborn to be maintained in an environment where it had extremely poor prospects of survival. Again, she said that this wasn't a case about abortion. This was an act of God where the child's mother had suffered the dreadful catastrophe of brain injury. She said the family's interests had to be recognised as a matter of human decency and understanding. And she said that her father had not only suffered the nightmare of his child predeceasing him, but he'd had to watch her deteriorating. And she said it was akin to a horror movie, and the family were enduring an unimaginable level of suffering.
Now, various parties making submissions today before the three judges of the High Court hearing this case. Lawyers for the HSE spoke. What did they say?
Yes, all the parties handed in written submissions, which would be more detailed and would go through more case law than what they actually said in court, because the judges had read the submissions, so they just made the important points to the judges in the brief hearing this morning. Lawyers for the HSE said this wasn't a case about international statistics, this was a case about people. And senior counsel Gerry Durkin was making the point that the crucial evidence in this case was about this particular unborn child and this particular unfortunate woman. He said the court had to have regard to the best interests of the unborn, and he said the mother was entitled to dignity in death as she would have been in life. Now, because he was representing the HSE, he said that doctors had found themselves in a very difficult position, and he said doctors needed reassurance that they could trust their clinical judgment and that their views about what was in the best interests of a patient in their clinical judgment should carry weight, and that going to the court for a case like this should be very unusual. He said that the court should declare that discontinuing life support treatment would be lawful in the particular circumstances of this case, and he said this would allow doctors to exercise their clinical judgment in the best interests of the unborn and to deal with the body of the mother with respect and dignity.
Now, the unborn child had a legal voice in proceedings this morning. What did lawyers for the unborn child say?
Yes, senior counsel Conor Dignam was representing the unborn child, and he agreed that this case was not about abortion. He said the key issue was what was practicable to vindicate the rights of the unborn child. Now, the article in the Constitution guarantees equal right to life of the mother and the unborn child, but he said the mother's right to life was no longer engaged because she was dead, and all the evidence was to that effect yesterday. He said that she may have a residual right to dignity in death, but the right to life of the unborn child would take precedence over that. He pointed out that there was a difference between the Irish and English texts of the Eighth Amendment. He said the English text said the rights of the unborn had to be defended as far as practicable, and the Irish text said as far as possible, and the Irish text takes precedence. So he said the court must be satisfied that there was no real possibility of the survival of the unborn child before backing any action that would bring that life to an end.
Now, there was some nuance because lawyers for the mother in this case also spoke, a slightly varying tone from perhaps the other legal submissions.
Yes, the woman is also legally represented, and senior counsel Cormac Corrigan said they accepted that her state was irreversible, but they were not actually conceding that she was dead. He said the court didn't have to determine what amounted to being legally dead, and he said if the court did have to determine that question, it might have to hear further and much more detailed evidence on that. He said there was no direct evidence of the woman's wishes, but there was evidence from which the court could infer her views of what she would have wanted, and this is evidence along the lines of what a good mother she already is, how devoted she was to her children, the fact that she had put a scan of her unborn child on her Facebook page. He said the woman was not suffering at the moment. He said she may have a right to die with dignity, but he said at the moment she didn't have any dignity. She was in as undignified a situation as you could imagine. Now, he pointed out that one of the intensive care specialists yesterday had said that he could not say it was impossible to continue with life support treatment. He also said that the treatment had been described in court yesterday as experimental and grotesque. But he said one person's experiment may be another person's pioneering treatment or another person pushing the boundaries or deciding what the law permits. And he asked if this was a pioneering case pushing the boundaries of the law. So the court has listened to all those submissions now.
Orla, it's hard to imagine a more desperate and difficult case for any judges, indeed anyone bound up in this case, to hear the day before Christmas.
Absolutely. The evidence, particularly yesterday, was very hard to listen to, probably more so because it was delivered in a very understated, calm way. There was very little noise in court. There was very little, there wasn't any hysteria, no overt signs of grief. But yet it was one of the saddest cases that has ever been before these courts. And there are young children involved. There is a woman who is in a very dire condition in a hospital at the moment. She's being cared for by staff. There are children who are waiting for Christmas whose mother is in this limbo, and they now have to wait until St. Stephen's Day at midday to find out what this woman's fate will be.
Orla O'Donnell, thank you very much for joining us. The judges will give their decision on St. Stephen's Day, and Orla will be reporting for us on St. Stephen's Day on that very sad case.